How's everybody doing this morning? Good. Let's stand and let's worship the Lord together. This morning we're going to do another new song, and I just encourage you guys to think about who God is to you, because we really do have a faithful, good, loving God this morning. Amen? Let's sing a song together.
Distant, just some words on a page that are nothing more than fables handed down along the way. But I've seen you part the waters when no one else could pull me from the deep. That's who you are to me. Some people think you just live in cathedrals made of stone, but I know you live inside my heart. I know that it's your home. And I've seen you in a sunset and in the eyes of a stranger on the street. It's who you are to me.
Give him praise this morning.
Nothing to fear. battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night, oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? Mighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God.
You guys can go ahead and have a seat.
Good morning, church. Good morning, church family. We're all awake now, right? To those of us joining online, welcome to you also, and to our family outside the tent. We are glad you guys are here. We did check the radar. We're hopeful. Guys, we're so glad you're here this morning. If you're guests with us this morning, a warm welcome. Pray that you have an encounter with a good, good God this morning. If we've not had a chance to connect with you, as you leave today, there are green connect cards at each of the exit doors. If you want to grab those and a pen there and fill that out, we'd love to have the chance to say hello. Or if the ways for us to connect with you have changed, it's a good way to update it also. Online, you've got an option there with the website. We'd love to hear from you as well. While you're filling out the connect card, there's a brown wood grain prayer card. If we can pray with you, if we can pray for you, please let us know. That's what family does for each other. They pray for each other. So I encourage you to do so. And if you're looking for an offering envelope that's there as a guest, please do not feel any pressure. This service is a gift. Mount View is your home, and you worship through tithes and offering, giving to God and His work. You can do that through the envelope. You can do that online. You can do that through mail. But let me just share with you why it's important. Many of you know we support Christ in Action. faith-based disaster relief organization that's based here in Culpeper County. Many of you know that they've been in Lake Charles, Louisiana for several weeks ministering to those affected by Hurricane Laura. What you may not realize is that Thursday they hooked up to all trucks and trailers and headed for Houston to hide from Delta, to let that come through, pass through, and then head back. That's 300 miles round trip of diesel for about 20-some trucks and trailers. Unexpected expenses with the deployment. It's a privilege that we're able to support organizations like this. Your giving helps us to do so. If you'd like to continue to help them, ChristInAction.com is their website. I'm sure they'd appreciate a little extra donation because those same homes they've been working on, some of them just got damaged again. Or homes that escaped Laura have been hit by Delta, so that deployment's going to get very interesting. So thank you for supporting us, and just prayerfully please continue as we have the privilege of being hands and feet of the church. With that, we're going to have a message here in a moment. It's challenging. It's a challenging message, but it's also a message of freedom, and I believe you're going to be quite inspired by what you hear. We'll be launching two new ministries through the message today. So your giving, you'll see how it continues to be used and employed, embraced for the kingdom work. You get a unique experience. You get the Orange Campus experience this morning. The message is going to be is happening live right now on the Orange Campus. So what happened, what transpired here this morning at 9 o'clock, we'll be watching on the screen, and then we'll be closing with some music. But I really want to pray over what's to come. So join me. Father, we lift up those to you that are somehow shaking their head this morning, going, why and what now, as another hurricane has rolled through. God, some of them are ready to give up hope. But there's organizations like Christ in Action who live by the motto of bringing hope to America's families. And there's other organizations, Baptist organizations, Methodist organizations, God's Picker, they're all down there, all mobilized by your leading to love those that are hurting. So God, thank you for those that are there. Thank you for those that support and send those that are there. And we just pray over those that have been hurt and affected. And Lord, for the message today, so powerfully given this morning, we'll get to just embrace this morning. God, it's going to be tough. Some people, it's going to hit close to home. And so, Lord, I pray for them. I pray you protect hearts. God, I pray that if there's a challenge, if there is a call to action for some in this room, Lord, may they be bold and courageous enough to move on the call. And God, just have your way in this room this morning. God, may we continue to grow into who you'd have us to be through both head and heart. And Lord, we just pray over the technology. Thank you, God, for everything you've given us through your Son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Morning, Mountain View. Morning. Happy Sunday to each and every one of you. I hope you guys are having a blessed week and a great day as well to go along with that. So, today we're going to continue the series that Josh started last week about the heart and mind. And we're looking at the freedom that we have to engage our minds or to act upon with the passions of our heart. We have freedom to use both our heart and our mind to make choices about our lives, but also how we're going to serve God as well. You know, the gospel gives power to our freedom because the power of the gospel is Jesus Christ crucified. And the message of the gospel is freedom. That's what Jesus came to give us, freedom. Freedom is bought and sold like a commodity because it has great value. Jesus determined in his heart what price he would pay for freedom. But the price he paid for that freedom was not for his own. It was for ours. In the heart of every person is a desire to be free. To free from the things that enslave our hearts and our minds. Free from the things that enslave our bodies. Jesus understands this desire for freedom, and he understands the problem, and he has a solution for it as well. He says, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. You know, our freedom comes from Jesus, but when Jesus sets us free, our freedom comes with some accountability as well. God cares about how we use the freedom he has purchased with the very blood of his very own Son. The Apostle Peter spells it out for us. He tells us three ways that we are accountable for the freedom that we have been given. In 1 Peter 2:16, he writes, "Live as free people. Don't hide behind your freedom when you do evil. Instead, use your freedom to serve God." Live as free people. Don't hide behind your freedom and use your freedom to serve God. His first instruction to us is this: live as free people. The Apostle Paul wrote that anyone who belongs to Christ, anyone who has become a son or daughter of God's family, that they are a new person and that the old is gone. He says, we have been set free from past mistakes, free from the power of sin. The sin has no power over us. And not just our own sins either, but also the sins of others that are committed against us. If we're free from these things, if we are allowing the old life, our old self, to have dominance over our new life, then we are not living as free people. We are not demonstrating that we believe God, that we truly believe him, when he tells us that he has set us free. One of the biggest prisons we live in is our comfort zone. We build this wall all around ourselves, and we stay inside of it because we're comfortable there. We don't want to have to step outside of that. You know, that's our happy place, but it's not a safe place at all. It's a prison, because it prevents us from rising and growing into the fullness of God, the dream that God has for each and every one of us, to grow into the fullness of Christ. Because inside our safe place, we can only do what we ourselves can do in there. It's not God's power that's engaging our life inside of our safe place. We have to step outside of that, no matter how uncomfortable it is, and let God do what God's going to do in our life. And I can assure you, man, he will turn you inside out. And you will love him for it, too. You might be scared out of your mind to step out of there, but he will just do amazing things in your life. And you will love him. You will love him for what he does in your life. But if we want to see what God can do in our life, we must step outside of that. We have to. We must live as free people, free from anything that enslaves us. We have to be able to get uncomfortable and step out of that place. If Jesus sets you free, you truly are free. Next, Peter gives us a warning, something to watch out for. He says, don't hide behind your freedom. I think we've all probably heard the old proverb, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. So I Googled it just to see what it really means. This is what I found. In Western culture, the proverb, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil, means to turn a blind eye to something that is legally or morally wrong. In this case, a person who sees no evil, hear no evil, and speaks no evil, pretends that he has not witnessed wrongdoing, and therefore advocates all responsibility in righting a wrong. You know, we have freedom for ourselves, but Peter warns us about this pitfall. He says we're not to hide behind our freedom. He says we have not been given a freedom as a license to do evil. And we have not been given freedom to turn a blind eye to the bondage and the atrocities of the evil that is all around us. Jesus gave everything to purchase our freedom. If we find evil within ourselves, we speak against it in our conversations with God, in our prayers with God and talking to God. We speak against the evil that we see in ourselves. And we ask God to remove it. If we see evil in the world around us, we speak out against it. We don't turn a blind eye to it. We are not to be blind, deaf, or mute to the evil around us. Our freedom is not a freedom to do or ignore evil. It is a freedom to overcome evil with good. And lastly, Peter tells us how we are to use our freedom. He says, use your freedom to serve God. You know, Peter understood all about using his freedom to serve God. You know, remember the story Jesus told him? He said, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows this morning. Peter's like, nah, not going to happen. Never. It'll never happen. And so Peter denies Jesus three times, and the rooster crows. And it's that very moment that Jesus turns and he looks at Peter and he makes eye contact with him. And what does Peter do? I mean, have you ever had that happen to you? In your heart, in your mind, your emotions, your thoughts, has God ever turned and looked directly at you and made eye contact with you in your hearts and your minds at that very moment that you fail. That's what happened to Peter. Not only did he fail Jesus, but Jesus turned and looked right at him. And if you had that happen, did you react the way Peter reacted? Peter left. He went outside and wept bitterly because of what had happened. But here's the deal. You know, Jesus told him this was going to happen all before it even happened. You know, remember what Jesus told Peter? He said, but I have pleaded with you. I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith shall not fail. Notice that Jesus said, I didn't pray for you, Simon, that Simon was Peter's name, that I didn't pray for you that you would not fail. He said, I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. We fail. 7 times a righteous man falls, and 7 times he gets back up. We fail. But Jesus prayed for Peter that his faith would not fail. He says, so when you have repented and turned to me again, he said, strengthen your brothers. Jesus knew how Peter was going to react. And he had prayed for his faithfulness. And he was faithful. And he said, Jesus told him, he said, when you repent and you turn back to me, he said, strengthen your brothers. Peter understood freedom. Freedom from shame, freedom from guilt. And after the fact, he realized also that Jesus had already forgiven him before he even committed that sin. Jesus had already forgiven him. So when you have repented and turned to me again, he knew it. And so Jesus told Peter to strengthen his brothers. He was telling Peter, use your freedom to serve me. And you go into the story with Peter. Peter spent every day of his life, for the rest of his life, serving God. With the freedom that he had, the freedom from shame, the freedom from any kind of condemnation, freedom from guilt, he spent his freedom serving God. Now today we are launching 2 new ministries in Mountain View. They are opportunities for us to use our freedom to serve God. The first one, Pure at Heart, is designed to bring freedom in the hearts and minds of those who have suffered from sexual abuse. The second one, that Forever Free, has taken Mountain View into the fight against human trafficking. Carly, you want to come up here and join me? Carly's going to be our first one talking about Pure at Heart. One of the things that Carly says, I've been working with her for a couple of weeks now and just helping her with her ministry. One of the things she says that I absolutely love what she says, I am going to put purpose to my pain. She understands what it means, you know, to use her freedom to serve God. And she uses her freedom to serve God by helping others to find that same freedom, to put purpose to their pain. Carly's going to tell you about her ministry, and she's going to tell you about the freedom behind her ministry. I encourage you to sit up, lean forward, and listen to every word that she has to say. You got this.
Hi, my name is Carly Toomey, for those of you who don't know me. My family and I have been involved in Mountain View for the past 5 years. I'm sorry. I'm a mom of 2 beautiful miracle babies, soon to be 3. I was raised in a broken home. My mom raised my brother and I. My dad had addiction problems, but despite all of that, my mom made sure that she raised my brother and I in church and kept us grounded. When I was a teenager, I made a promise between myself and God that I would remain pure and I would save myself for marriage. I was so proud of that decision that I had made. Unfortunately, when I was 17, I was violently raped by someone I was supposed to be able to trust. This event caused me to feel dirty, worthless, and isolated. I felt completely broken. The only person who I told was my mom months later. I buried all of it down deep until I told my husband once he came into my life. The two of them have reminded me on my dark days that I was still pure. I did not choose to give that away. It was something that was ripped away from me, and it was stolen. I felt so much shame and guilt, and I felt that I was less of a person somehow. When I would tell them what was going on emotionally with myself, they would both reassure me by saying, "You are still pure at heart." If I was not a Christian and did not have the support system that I do, I don't know if I'd be standing here today. When Satan would try to remind me that I was worthless, unlovable, or damaged, I would throw myself at my Heavenly Father and ask Him to show me how He saw me. It still wasn't easy, and I still feel like I'm getting through it by the grace of God alone. It has been and is a continuous process, but I plan to put purpose behind my pain. It has taken me over 10 years to be able to open up about my story. And trust me when I say this, healing can only come when you turn it over to God. God has laid on my heart the need for a ministry focused on helping these survivors of sexual abuse. While doing research for this ministry, I found some scary statistics that show the real need for a Christ-centered ministry in Culpeper County. Every 73 seconds, an American is sexually assaulted. 1 in 5 women and 1 in 71 men will be raped at some point in their life. 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be sexually abused before they turn 18 years old. Only 12% of child sex abuse is ever reported to the authorities. And rape is the most underreported crime. 63% of sexual assaults are not reported to the police. How does this affect us immediately? In 2018, Culpeper County's population was around 51,859. Approximately 50% of those are female. Based on those rates, approximately 5,186 women and 730 men have been impacted within our own community. And that's not considering Orange. If you think that this is something that you guys would like to get involved in, just a few things it takes is just to have a personal walk with Jesus Christ. Have strong communication skills, especially be a good listener. Maintain privacy and confidentiality. Be a compassionate, empathetic, and a calm person. Maintain healthy boundaries and be willing to complete some training pertaining to sexual abuse. Pure at Heart is a ministry showing Christ's love to these hurting individuals. We will meet them where they are on the road to healing and walk along with them. We will go with them to the hospital to seek medical treatment, go with them to file a police report if they want to, be there to listen to them vent, cry, or even scream. If I had known of a ministry that would center around God and healing, maybe I would have reached out and not suffered depression, severe flashbacks, terrible nightmares, and trust issues. So many women and men suffer from all of these and more. Sexual abuse survivors are 10 times more likely to use hard drugs to cope with their pain. If you can get to these men and women and help them to see that they're not alone, that they are loved, it's not their fault, and they are beautiful the way that the Lord has made them, we could help turn so many lives around. No one should have to suffer in silence or alone. We need people who have a heart for these individuals who feel broken or lost. We need people who will listen without judgment to someone sharing their story for the first time after keeping it a secret for years. We need people who will answer a call for someone who just fell victim and needs to know what to do next. We need people who will see the person suffering and go with them to get professional help. We need someone who will walk, talk, and just be with them and guide them through this process. We need people who will see others the way that the Lord sees us. Mostly, we just need people who are willing to be obedient to God's calling. If you feel like this is something that you want to do but you don't feel equipped, 2 Corinthians 3:5 is a wonderful verse to keep in mind. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. Please remind yourself of this verse. We ourselves could never help someone heal without the Holy Spirit working through us. We will introduce them to our Heavenly Father, because without him, healing is completely impossible. Without knowing Jesus Christ and his love, you can't see yourself how he sees you. You're beautiful, you're flawless, you're whole, you're his. On the screen is a 24-hour support line and email that is direct to the Pure at Heart ministry team. Please, we encourage everyone to reach out whenever it is that you need help. We will be there. And keep this in mind, just because you have not experienced the assault yourself or the abuse directly, we are a resource for all. Whether you are a survivor, a caregiver, a friend, a parent, or a guardian, we're here for you. If you feel led to get involved, you can go to Mountain View's website under the ministries and sign up. We also have business cards with all of our contact information on the table to the right as you go out the double doors, or in the lobby on the table that Pastor Jeff has set up. Just to show you guys how real this issue is, just during this presentation while I've been standing on stage, 6 people have experienced sexual abuse in some fashion. If there's anyone here who wants to talk to me, whether you have experienced some sexual abuse yourself, you have a loved one who has, or you want to get involved, please come find me. I would love to speak with you.
Thank you, Carly. Guys, when I talk about what it means to get out of your safe place, that's what it means to get out of your safe place. She has been struggling with that so much, but she wanted to use her freedom to help other people find freedom, no matter what that meant to her, what it would cost her. And she's done an awesome job with it. Our second ministry, as I've told you before, Forever Free, is going to take Mountain View into the fight against human trafficking. Mountain View is entering this fight on 2 fronts, in our communities and internationally as well. Stephanie Minter has taken on the leadership for the fight in our communities and locally here in our nation. And I'm working on the international front myself. Together we are working to bring opportunities to you to use our freedom to serve Christ and to serve our awesome God. You know, Stephanie, you want to join me up here? Stephanie's passionate about this injustice in our communities, and she has been working hard on this ministry. I was meeting with her a couple weeks ago, and she came in. She'd been working all this stuff, researching all these things, and she just like, wow, unloaded, man. She was so excited. All this different stuff she had found. And then all of a sudden, she just blurts out, I am so in awe of God right now. Guys, that's what it means to live out of your safe zone. That's where we all need to be. That's where you experience God, when you say, I'm so in awe of God. That's where life begins. Take it.
Thank you, Jeff. Well, I don't know how I'm supposed to follow that incredible testimony, but I'm still really excited to be here to share this new ministry with you all. But before I get into the details, I want to sort of paint a scenario for you with a common trafficking story. So we have a young girl named Katie who comes from a middle-class family. She's about 14 years old, still attending the local middle school, but is looking forward to starting high school. Both of her parents work full-time, so sometimes she gets a little lonely, but she's got a great group of friends, and she enjoys hanging out with them. And when she's not with them, she enjoys just chilling out and scrolling through her Instagram feed and Snapchatting with her friends. And it's not long before she notices one particular boy who follows her on Instagram, who is always leaving really nice comments on all of her selfies. So she begins private messaging with him, and he's very heavy on the compliments, telling her how pretty she is and just making her feel really good about herself. And so she agrees to meet with him face to face one day at the mall. And they're just walking around, hanging out, having a good time. He buys her some outfits and some jewelry that she really likes, and she just really enjoys her time with him. And so she agrees to keep talking to him, and this continues for several months. And anytime her parents notice the new items, she just says that she got them from a friend of hers. Well, before long, her boyfriend begins asking her to send pictures of different parts of her body, and he sends her pictures of himself as well. And then he starts telling her to do different things in the pictures, and he tells her, you know, it's okay, this is what people do when they're together, this is normal. So she decides to believe him. Well, one day he says, hey, let's hang out at one of my friend's house. And so she goes to meet him, but when she gets there, he rapes her. And he tells her she doesn't need to tell anybody, you know, he loves her and there's nothing wrong with it. And so she again decides to believe him and continues to meet up with him. But each time she does, there's a different guy there and she is raped again and again. And she is told not to tell anybody because her boyfriend needs the money and she's supposed to help him out in this way. Now, this is just one mild scenario of an example of human trafficking. And the key commonality in all of them is an exploited vulnerability. Katie had one main vulnerability, and that was loneliness and the desire for attention. Now imagine if she had been from a broken home or had abusive parents, identified as LGBTQ, lived in foster care or a group home, or even worse, been a runaway. And as these vulnerabilities are compounded, this person becomes a much easier target for traffickers. So knowing that, think about how many prime targets there are in the world and also here in our community. Now, as Jeff said, we're taking this ministry both locally and internationally, and it's because we know that no one person in no community is immune to this issue. And we see our responsibility as the church through the Great Commission to reach this community and also the world with the love of Christ. So how does this apply to Culpeper and Orange? Though our communities may not see a lot of kidnappings or gang-led or pimp-led trafficking, we know that vulnerabilities do exist. And so we know that trafficking and abuse happens in some form or another. And we also know that as the world continues to embrace sexuality more and more, this problem will just get worse. But we can't just copy and paste another model and then pat ourselves on the back for getting involved. We need to know exactly what our community needs, and we need to tailor our approach for those specific vulnerabilities. So that's why we've decided to launch Forever Free in progressive phases. So the first part, of phase one is going to be all about learning how our community is uniquely affected by this issue, who in the community is already in the fight and to what extent, and also where the gaps are. And this will all be done through a community assessment where we will evaluate every sector of the community to get this data. So one of the first ways that you all can get involved is by helping us to make connections to the leaders in the community and help to start those conversations. So if you work in or if you know somebody who works in law enforcement, education, medical, legal or political, social services, transportation and hospitality, or business sectors, and you're willing to use those connections, you can go to the ministry page on the church's website to sign up. The second part of phase one is going to be about learning from other seasoned warriors on how to be most effective in this fight, and also some best practices of having boots on the ground. So we're going to be partnering with a ministry in Northern Virginia called the Human Trafficking Initiative, and we'll be joining their street outreach and their prayer ministry and their mentoring program for survivors to learn what is the best way to actually help these victims. And so their information is also on the church's website if you'd like to help out there. We also want to prevent human trafficking from happening in the first place, and we'll do that by offering assistance to those who are in the most vulnerable populations. Mountain View already has ministries to this effect, like Restore Cars, the Winter Heat Shelter, the King's Table, the Jail Ministry, now Pure at Heart, and also the two youth groups, Revolution and Surge. And these ministries all offer practical resources and support for those who are in these most vulnerable demographics. And we just don't know how offering these resources will help eliminate the pathway for exploitation. So I ask you to prayerfully consider helping one of those ministries as well. The final part of phase one is going to be all about building awareness of how human trafficking happens in the first place, who are those most vulnerable groups, and also drawing attention to the countless victims that are already here in the community that we don't know about. And the great first step to learning about this issue is the Justice U Human Trafficking Awareness Course. And this is the first of a three-part series. This course by itself is free. It's all online and very interactive, and it just provides really valuable information for awareness. And the link will also be on the website. So once we have the information from the community assessment and the knowledge and experience from our partnerships, we'll begin to tailor our plan to help for our specific community. And the goal of phases two and three is a little more vague, but the overall idea is to implement whatever new initiatives or offer whatever support is necessary for existing programs for us to be able to fight this issue as a community. And through this process, we're going to be using what's called the Freedom Strategy from the Alliance for Freedom, Restoration, and Justice. And this will just help guide our process and our planning as we make an accurate assessment, and just to make sure that every area and sector of the community is covered in this fight and that all of our efforts are not nullified by any remaining gaps. So we know that human trafficking is a major issue in the world, also here in America, but we also know that vulnerabilities exist here in Culpeper and Orange and Madison and the surrounding counties. And we also know that traffickers make fortunes off of exploiting people under the radar. So just because we don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. And we can't live in blissful ignorance while people are tormented and abused who desperately need to be rescued and to know the love of our Father. This is going to be hard. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. This is going to be hard and it's going to be messy. And we're going to have to make the choice as the body of Christ to take off the blinders and to turn our attention to the pain and do the grueling work of fighting the enemy on his own territory. But we know that his light outshines the darkness, and our mighty God is victorious in battle, and he's so much more powerful than that enemy. So above all the opportunities for involvement that I've mentioned today, something that every person in this room and every person watching online can do is to pray. Pray hard for those victims. Pray for the pathways for us to be able to make an impact. Pray for cooperative community leaders as we plan. And also pray for those who are directly involved in this ministry to cling closely to God as we walk through this darkness. Because we know that despite the battle that lies ahead of us, we know for certain that the lives that will be rescued through this ministry and set forever free will be worth it. Thank you.
We couldn't imagine the extent of the evil that allowed four-year-olds to be trafficked and sexually abused by men coming from all over the world. Girls needed to be rescued, but more than that, once rescued, they needed a safe place for healing, and that safe place had to include experiencing the love of Jesus Christ if those girls were going to heal. So we opened a restoration home, and those girls did experience the love of Christ, and they did find healing, but healing more than just for themselves, a healing that led them to be the protector of other kids. And it was working. Within months, our restoration home was full. Then my phone rang. A girl was calling who was trapped in a brothel and asked us, please come and rescue me. At that time, we didn't have a SWAT team, so we gave the information to another organization, and we waited 3 days for that rescue to happen. On the day it was scheduled, it was tipped off, and all those girls were taken to a different place. Now we didn't know where they were. One thing we knew is we could never let that happen again. So we partnered with the Cambodian government and started our own SWAT team. And when this partnership with the government started, everything turned around. Instead of raids being tipped off, there was hardly ever a raid that wasn't successful. But we go beyond the rescue. So when we rescue a girl, they don't have an education. Most of them, their parents sold them, so they can't go home. We're able to give them a safe home where they find healing, where they get a good education, And when they're ready to go back into society, we give them a good job. And together, those things will keep them from going back to that life they escaped. What's really cool is these young girls grow up, so many of them grow up to be abolitionists themselves. They don't leave AIM, they become a part of it. They work in our employment centers, in prevention, in our schools, on the SWAT team to rescue girls. And now that girl that made the phone call, she's not only rescued, she's not only healed, but today she's a social worker of our SWAT team. And when a rescue happens, the first person those girls see is her. So much incredible work has been done through the power of Christ, but there's still so much more to do. There are girls trapped in brothels. We know where they are, and we know how to get them out. But we can't do it alone. We need your help. Join us and fight for their freedom. Together, we can defeat the greatest evil of our lifetime.
Information about either one of these ministries that we've been telling you about, you can find all that stuff on our website. Just go to our mission section, and you can find a web page for each one of those ministries as well, and find the same information that we've been telling you about today. Back in early January this year, I was in Cambodia, and I went and I visited AIM, and they gave me a tour of the place. And man, what they did in that community, it was transformed. And so many people set free. It is an amazing story. It is amazing what God has done to those people. To change not only a community, but to change human lives and to give them a purpose and a reason for living, for getting up. You know, we're going to be joining AIM. They're going to be our international partner. We're going to walk alongside them to support them in Cambodia, and they just expanded out recently into Belize. And we're going to be doing that. I hope to go down maybe the first of the year and do a vision trip with them to see what the possibilities are of taking teams there as well. You might be saying, okay, wow, this is like overwhelming. What can I do right now? What can I do today to help fight against this? So if you're interested, we can do, we have a text to give set up, and it takes $1,000 to save a girl. So that's not just to go kick down the door and get her out. That's to get her out, take her to a restore home, to reintegrate her back into society, give her an education. That place they showed it there was a huge blue building. They built a school that's huge that they give them an education. And then to also reintegrate them back into society so that they have a job. They teach them a trade so that they're not relying anymore on selling their bodies, but they have a trade. They have purpose. They have dignity. And they have freedom. That's what the $1,000 buys. If you want to text, you can text. They set up an account for us. Text Mountain View to 444-321. There's a card out on the table outside in the foyer as well that has that information on it. If you'd be interested in helping out, to help them do what like he said, we can't do it alone. So it's an opportunity to help them. That's one thing you can do right now. Another thing is start praying. Or actually, I'll go to the prayer at the table first. Out here in this foyer in the hospitality area, there's a table set up. You'll see all kinds of T-shirts, all kinds of products that these girls are making. That's the trade that they give them. And they sell those things in order to help them. They have a store online. They have a store in Phnom Penh in Cambodia. I've been to that store as well. They sell these things to help support them. So if you want to go out and take a look at it and just see what's out there, every bit of that stuff that's being sold, the money goes back to AIM. None of it stays here. It's all for their purpose, for supporting them as well. But I want to tell you, this bracelet that I wear all the time, it's got the number 22 on it. I wear this bracelet to remind me, as a constant reminder, that I need to use my freedom to serve God and to help other people find that freedom as well. I'm not going to tell you what that 22 means on that bracelet. Go out there. There's more bracelets on the table, and they're attached to a card. Turn the card over and read the story. It is a story that will break your heart, but it is a story of freedom and restoration. It is an amazing story. Check out some of the stuff that's out there. The other thing I'd ask you to do is start praying. Is God sending you to Cambodia, or perhaps maybe if we get into point of Belize? We're taking a team over in November of 2021. So start praying about that. God, would you send me to help these girls buy this freedom, to come alongside of AIM, to work with them, to restore and to find freedom for those girls? Is that something God is calling you to do? Start praying about that. There'll be more information coming up about these trips later. The last thing you can do right here in this room at 6 o'clock tonight, we're showing the movie Nefarious, Merchants of Souls. It's a movie about human trafficking. I won't lie, it's not an easy movie to watch, but it will expand your awareness of human trafficking globally and as well here in the United States. It'll help you to understand the magnitude of the tragedy of human trafficking and what's going on. Come back. It's a free movie. Just show up. 6 o'clock. Right here. Come back. Active prevention is a part of our strategy to fight modern-day slavery. Stephanie talked about a coordinated battle plan, and prevention plays an important role in that plan. One of our preventative actions will be working to demolish the stronghold of pornography. Pornography fuels the demand for human trafficking. Where there is no demand, there is no need for any need to supply. Statistics reveal that the increase in the amount and the reach of pornography cannot be ignored. But it is not just a problem affecting men. Women, teenagers, and children are also being caught in the web of pornography at alarming rates. I have a few statistics I looked up for you as well. Over 40 million Americans are regular visitors to porn sites. 47% of families in the United States reported that pornography is a problem in their home. 57% of pastors say porn addiction is the most damaging issue in their congregation. And only 7% of pastors say their church has a program to help people struggling with pornography. We're going to change that here at Mountain View. We're going to work against that statistic. In early 2021, we're going to have a little mini conference, for lack of a better word, on pornography, awareness, and the impact that pornography has on human life, both physically and spiritually. And then following that conference, for anybody, people who want to, there'll be classes for anyone who wants to go deeper in the fight against pornography. We want to make sure that you are equipped to break the devastating strongholds of pornography or to help somebody else that you may be working with. I know I've talked to parents. They talk about their teenage children being involved in these things. And parents, and there's sometimes we are walking along with somebody else that needs help. How are we going to help them? We want to make sure that you are equipped to do that, to break these strongholds of pornography in Mountain View. As I finish here this morning, I just want to say one more thing about freedom. On October 18th of 1994, my mother died. I was at her bedside at the hospital, and I remember the day vividly. But there's one thing that just sticks in my mind, and will always, is that when she finally, at that point, slipped away, there was a smile on her face. And that's the last thing I remember about her, is having that smile on her face as she died. What is it? What is it that enables somebody to die, to pass this life with a smile on her face? It's freedom. It's freedom that allows us. It's freedom from condemnation. It's freedom from any whatsoever fear of hell. It is the freedom that Jesus Christ gives us that enables us to smile in the face of death, because we have eternal life in Christ Jesus alone. That's what it enables us to do. For God did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Jesus did not come to condemn the world. He came to set us free. He does not want us to be enslaved to anything that hurts us or causes us to hurt someone else. Paul said that it is in our heart that we believe God raised Jesus. We believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And it is our heart that inspires our mind to say, with a smile on our face, Jesus is Lord. That's the freedom that God gives to us. Live free. Don't use your freedom to do evil. Use it to serve God. Guys, let me pray God's blessing over you. Father God, Lord, we love you. We thank you for being here with us, God, and just for loving us so much. God, I thank you that you were willing to give your one and only Son. Jesus, you were willing to come and die on that cross to pay the price for freedom, that we would have freedom from condemnation, that we'd have freedom from shame and guilt, that we would have freedom, God, to love you with everything we have in us, God. For God, you are ours and we are yours. That is what freedom brought for us. God, we thank you for that. And I pray this over every single person sitting in this room, Father God, that they will know that freedom, God. They will take a hold of it, Lord, and they will live free. They will live as free people, Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to step out of their comfort zones in whatever, God, you may be calling them to do, whatever you may be wanting to do in each one of their lives, the dream that you have for each one of them sitting here, God. I pray, Lord, that you would just be with them, that you would empower them, Lord, and that they would live as free people. God, I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for revealing your Son, Jesus Christ, to us. And we pray all these things in the power of his name, Jesus the Christ. Because if you're seeking for freedom or something in your life, claim it. Because Jesus already purchased it. He already paid the price for it. You know, if you want someone to pray with you, please don't hesitate to come up. Carly and Stephanie and I have to leave. We have to go down to Orange. But Josh and Tammy will be up here to pray with you. If there's something that you want prayed for, if you want somebody to pray with you because you're walking with somebody else, you're trying to help them to find this freedom, then I would ask you to come up and just pray with them. You know, we're getting ready to go into a time of worship. A time of worship to worship this God that loves us so much. This God who gave us freedom. When you sing, sing as free people. When you worship, worship this God who set you free. Worship him with everything you have in you, to love him with everything you have. Worship him.
I don't always understand, I don't always get to see, but I will believe it, I will believe it, that you make mountains move, you make giants fall, you use songs of praise to shake prison walls, and I will speak to my fear, I will my feet.
so thankful this morning for your faithfulness. God, your love, your mercy, your goodness, and your grace. Lord, as we go out today, I just ask that you can help us to live as free people so that we can help others experience the freedom, the joy, the love, and the grace that you so freely offer on a daily basis. God, we love you. We thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys have a blessed week. Go in peace.
Cause you make mountains move. You make giants.